Crop protection materials not only protect crops from destruction of pests and diseases, the materials are critical for food security, and many pesticides prevent insect-borne illnesses, particularly in kids. Eliza Dunn, early in her life, practiced emergency medicine and now is the medical science outreach lead for Bayer Crop Science. She had worked in developing countries and seen malnutrition and insect-borne illnesses up close.
Yeah, so pesticides are really critical for public health. They are one of the pillars of public health, if you think about it, really. Yeah. Because not only do they protect people from insect-borne illness, but they also protect crops from insect and weed-borne illness. And so they're really important for food security because you prevent crops from having weeds come in and take nutrients and water and sunlight and essentially starve the crops. Yeah. But they also they're also toxic weeds, and you need to control for toxic weeds. So, for example, in France, this past year, there was a contamination of green beans with a weed called Datura. And Datura can make people have vivid hallucinations and have seizures and coma and death. It's very, very dangerous to have in the food supply. And so France had to recall its green beans because it was contaminated with that. Abraham Lincoln's mother died of milk poisoning. And what that was, there's a weed called white snake root that when cattle would eat that weed, it would concentrate in their milk, and chemicals called trematol. And when people drink that contaminated milk, then they wind up with muscle spasms and nausea and vomiting and death. And that's how Abraham Lincoln's mother died, because of weed contamination. So these are really, really important things to think about when you're talking about, you know, weed control in crops.
And a lot of food is wasted in the field, never gets harvested because of weeds and other diseases. So it's extremely important to have crop protection materials such as Roundup just for that purpose alone.
That's a really critical kind of thing to think about, and it's important to try to maximize the output of that. And it, you know, if you take away Roundup and go back to, you know, entirely pre-1996 farming, you decrease your yields, and when you decrease yields, you actually increase food prices. And people in the city don't understand that, you know, without these tools, you're talking about increasing food prices for them. And, you know, in inner cities, there are things called food deserts where people don't have access to fruits and vegetables and things like that. And so you really want to make sure that these people do have access to healthy food. And without the advances of the 20th century, it's really hard to ensure that there is a safe, healthy food supply.
And crop protection materials are rigorously tested for safety, and no other product has been scrutinized as much as glyphosate. Roundup.
IR group was a group of 17 people who evaluated an incomplete data set, so they didn't look at all of the data. They only look at published data. And since they had an incomplete data set, they were an outlier. So people wanted to make sure that, because public health is what's really important to the regulatory agents, so they wanted to make sure, so they went and reevaluated all of the data that IARC looked at, plus everything else that's available. And what they found is that there is no association between glyphosate and any kind of cancer whatsoever, and especially non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, this has been followed up in 2019 with a meta-analysis by Leon and Shinazi that looks at over 300,000 people over years. That study also shows that there's no association between glyphosate and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And many countries around the world worked hard to reevaluate glyphosate.
Australia looked at it, New Zealand looked at it, Canada looked at it, the U.S. looked at it, the EU looked at it, Germany was the rapporteur, I want to say Japan and maybe Korea, but I mean multiple different regulatory agencies, hundreds and hundreds of scientists reevaluated all of the data at taxpayers' expense and found no association. Wow. And they looked at all of the animal data, they looked at all of the epidemiology data that IARC looked at, and then some. So the question then becomes, if you've got a chemical that is critical for farming around the world and is the foundation of agriculture in North and South America, how much more study do you need to do? I mean, the studies are already being done, you know, over the years, and when it's registered in a country, there's a period where they have to undergo re-registration, so they get all that data anyway, and new data as it develops. So what else can we do to reassure people that this is really safe, it's critical for agriculture, it's critical for food security, and helps provide healthy fruits and vegetables and all of that for people in cities? I would love to be able to come up with the answer that would help people understand how important this is, and I would love to hear what would make people believe these hundreds of scientists, or thousands of scientists who've looked at thousands of studies around the world, what would make people believe.
And this is coming from Eliza Dunn, a person with great credibility being a medical doctor.
I am an emergency medicine physician and a medical toxicologist. I decided to do emergency medicine after medical school, but I wanted to do it because I wanted to do global health. And so I guess it goes all the way back to when I was 21. My dad asked me if I wanted to go to Haiti on a medical mission. And I said, sure, that sounds kind of interesting. And it was an interesting time to go because it was the height of the HIV epidemic. And so when I went, I worked in a little orphanage and met this baby Fritz, and he revolutionized my view of the world because it was the first time I'd ever seen starvation, first time I saw lots of insect-borne illness, and I thought, what am I doing with my life? So never underestimate how important one small encounter can be in your life, right? And so because of Fritz, I decided that I wanted to go to medical school. I did emergency medicine so I could do relief work because I wanted to be able to have lots of different skills so I can deliver babies and treat infections and treat broken bones and things like that. But then I thought, you know, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. So I really wanted to learn something in depth. And so I did a fellowship in medical toxicology, and I just was fascinated by snake bites and pesticides and stuff like that. I actually was the snake bite doctor for the St. Louis Zoo for a while. Anyway, I wound up organizing with my residents, organizing the relief mission to Haiti after the earthquake in 2010, and realized, you know, I'm just putting a Band-Aid on this problem. What can we do that could actually, you know, there were lots of little kids like Fritz. What could make their lives better? And I realized food security was the foundation of it, once again, agriculture. And then also pesticides, you know, the insect-borne illness is responsible. The mosquito kills more people in the world than any other creature. It's the most deadly creature on Earth. Over 750,000 deaths a year, 750,000 to a million deaths.
Eliza, thanks for being with me today. Always great to talk to you.
And it's great to talk to you, Patrick. I really enjoyed it.